you want to have a quick look at Psalm 127. And just there's two things I just need to do. One is I'm just going to base from here Psalm 127, which is, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, its laborers labor in vain. You know, we can come up with our best laid plans, but we need God to put the steps in order. And there is amazing things that are happening around the place. Roy, I love hearing the reports that come back from you and others of the things that are happening in the earth. And I believe that our faces need to be continually turned to the Lord to be a participant in what He is doing wherever we are. I have to tell you, I'm not content to just hear about the things that are happening overseas. I love hearing them. I love hearing what's happening in the Arab world. I love hearing what's happening in the Asias. I love hearing what's happening in Europe and the darkness that's being peeled back. I love hearing of the things that are happening in Africa. But what are the things that are happening here? In fact, I'm just going to ask, does anyone have something you'd like to share now? I know you're on the spot, just throw it out there. What the Lord is doing here now. If you want to, just all right, this is Jane.
Hello, this is very nerve-wracking. We just have to look at our news every day. So on the Sunshine Coast Daily, I was reading it yesterday. I only read it on Saturdays, and that's not my copy that I buy. And I was just looking at it, and it's the news and the things in it are just horrendous, aren't they? The things that are happening. Why are these things happening? It's because Australia is not looking to God for its future. And we have to do that. We need missionaries here in Australia. We really, really do. And each one of you can be one. I'm a missionary in my own home to two of my children who are not at home anymore, but also to my husband. And the way to be a missionary, I have decided in my case, is to follow Jesus in my own life, to do what I think Jesus would want me to do, and not to ear bash. That is the most putting off thing for any non-Christian who is not ready to be missionaryized, or whatever the word is. And the something that I learned in my life also is to go for the fruit that is ripe for picking. There will come a time when people soften through things not from you, from anybody, and go for the fruit that are ripe for picking. You cannot change an unbeliever if they do not want to be changed. It is God who does the changing. So go for it, all of you. Each of you has a mission here in Australia, whether it be your husband, your wife, your children, your neighbor, your butcher, your baker, your candlestick maker. Go for it and live the life that God wants you to live so that they can see you have something that they don't.
Thanks, Jane. I appreciate the truth of what Jane said and the encouragement of that. What I'm really wanting to hear is, what is something transformational that you've seen God do that you can bring here and say? Like we just heard Roy talk about things that are happening in Egypt, millions of believers coming. What do you see locally? I want to hear just an encouragement of something that you've seen happen. Anyone? Malcolm? That's all right. Malcolm's on his way. He was on his feet first. Here's Malcolm.
Hi, everyone. I'm an RE teacher, and I teach grade 7, and they're a bit of a challenge, and had a bad start to the year, and they were sort of killing me pretty well. But over the last couple of weeks, I like to sing songs with them, and they recently just went on a camp to Talabudra. It was a totally school camp, nothing to do with Christian things. And they were singing the Christian songs that I've taught them on the bus, and they were just going over and over, and the teachers were just sort of blown away by it. So that was pretty exciting.
That's the stuff. That's the thing that we need to hear and remind ourselves of. You know what? God is doing stuff in our midst, and we need to, as Jane said, be about it, be about the kingdom works.
Hi, I'm Bronwyn. I'm an RE teacher, and we got off to a really rough start this year too. But my helper got a prayer support backup. My family in China were praying for us. My mother's prayer backup were praying for us. And each week we've seen improvement. And last week we even had two little girls that weren't doing RE sign up to do RE. Praise God.
Bronwyn, thank you. I'll just bring the mic down here.
Hi, most of you know me, I'm Jean. I have a real passion to give out the word of God. We belong to the Gideons. We belong to the Gideons, and so I always carry at least one little New Testament with me. And before Christmas, I go to the gym fairly regularly, and I have a real burden for the people that go there, and I talked, can you hear me now? So I talk to the people fairly frequently just about ordinary things and sometimes about Jesus. And before Christmas, I decided I wanted to give everybody that I could a little New Testament. And so I came with a whole heap on the 23rd of December, but there was only 4 people in the gym. But I went to each one of them and said, it's Christmas, and I really want to give you a little gift. It's the story of Jesus. And so I gave 3 guys their little, and they accepted them. They were happy to get them. And the 4th fellow, who was a fellow in his mid-20s, you would think had everything together. And I gave him the New Testament, and he said, thank you. This is the only gift I'm going to get this Christmas. So thank you very much. Praise God.
The simple things.
I see amazing things that God's doing through my daughter, who is in year 12 at Suncoast Christian College. And she is so, and her friends are so on fire for God. The highlight of their week is Friday night youth and Sunday church, which she won't miss no matter what assignments. And she's working hard because she wants to do medicine. Anyway, she rang me straight after church 2 Sundays ago, and she was so excited because she said she had brought her first person to God. And it was a girl who she'd spoken to at school, who had no belief and wanted to leave this very Christian school. And she was hanging with Amy for a while, Amy said, look, come to youth because we talk about doing things in the community, which they really do. So this girl asked if she could come back after school and get ready with Amy, and they spoke together. Anyway, at that night, she went forward and gave her heart to God. And the funny thing was, I was talking to one of Amy's teachers who said 2 weeks before this service, all the teachers got together and prayed that somehow someone would reach this child and bring her to God. And it was just great that I see all these kids getting together and getting and praying when something's gone wrong, and they uplift each other. So in the next, well, the younger generation, God is doing great things.
It's great.
Hello, everyone. I'm Steve, and I'm from Bundaberg, and I'm here with the team. I wasn't up here singing. I didn't want to put them out of tune for you. But I must admit, since my time with the Islanders, with Brother Roy's ministry, I've seen so many amazing, wonderful things, not just overseas, but in Australia, all parts of Australia, especially in Bundaberg. But the story I want to bring you today is the one that we all heard of recently about a little girl called Trinity. A little girl that was sadly taken. It didn't just touch Bundaberg's heart, it touched the heart of all of Australia, all of Queensland. And unbeknownst to us, God took it all over the world. And as we sat in the house of prayer on the Monday when the news broke and we prayed, as we prayed for this family, we prayed again on the Tuesday morning. We weren't going to let go of this one. And God put it upon all our hearts that morning. Let's bring the community together. Let's bring them together in a prayer vigil. The only way our community will get through this, will feel healing, will feel something from this tragedy, is to come to God together as a community. And so Roy and I and the gang looked at each other. What do we do? First step was to go see the council to see if they would come on board, if they would give us a venue that we could do this prayer vigil. Roy went there straight away, and straight away it was granted. They gave us the use of the Main Street Pavilion for 4 hours that very night. They gave it to us for nothing. Straight away, I then knew I needed to get the word out there. I rang up the manager of the radio station, the general manager, and he's not a Christian man. And the beautiful thing about this story, the majority of the people that God brought this together through was through non-saved people for his message. And as I spoke to this man and shared our heart for the reason for a prayer vigil, he said, I want to be part of this. I think it's good for our community. If you will email me all the info, I will then pass it on to my friends who run Channel 7, Channel 9, the newspapers, and they will come on board with me. I didn't have to do any more. God was so far ahead of me, it wasn't funny. Because we were thinking, how are we going to tell the people? The council also, they did all our flyers. We did 1,000 flyers to send out. The city council printed them. They did them all for us. The kingdom of God was at work. And the night came, and we approached the different pastors from all the churches to come and be part of this night. Because this is the night we wanted to bring the church and the community together. We wanted them to see that the same heartbeat that flows through from God to us is to them. And that night, when it came together, when the night started, a little girl, if you all saw the news stories, she was the first one up on stage, six years old. She came up to us just before we started, and she said, can I please come up and tell everybody about my little best friend Trinity, and tell them how much I love her. And the little girl started the whole night off. As you can imagine, it started everybody else off with the tears and with everything else. And the little girl got stuck for words. She couldn't say no more. And then the night was handed over to all the pastors from all the different churches that prayed and offered up prayers. There was that much praying that night in the center of Bundaberg. 3/4 of the crowd were non-believers. But they came there. They were there. When they first came, the countenance upon their face was dread, was sadness, was hopelessness. But after 2 hours of just pure prayers being offered up before God, things changed. There was a transformation over the crowd. There was still sadness, yes, but there was now a new hope. There was now a new beginning. One that united our community. And the most special part that I remember so clearly, a blind man, one of our members, came up. He's blind and deaf. He's one of the most amazing men in God you'd ever want to meet. He prays with us 5 o'clock every morning. Through technology of the world today, he can do it. But he came up that night to share a story about linking arms. The way we come together, we need to link arms. And that night, 1,500 people, I know the paper said there was 500, but there was about 1,500 people there. There was police, There was governors, there was councillors, there was members of parliament, there was people, just general people. We all stood and we all linked arms and the community finally felt together. And as we then presented a prayer for the police and for the services, the volunteers, the brokenness, and all the people hugged and they went up to the police and they thanked them so much. And the head of police said to me at the end of the night, "This is the first night I can really say the Queensland Police Force feel like rock stars." We felt so appreciated. We felt like rock stars. And that is because of the power of prayer that broke through that night. It broke through in an amazing way. And the testimonies that have flowed from that night, from the lives that have been touched. And just the other night, we were told of stories interstate that were touched from people that they heard from that were there. And non-believers are coming now to talk to us, to ask us, why is this not done more by the church? Why are we not able to do this more together? So we are now going to start a ministry where we can bring it to the streets, where the community can come along and we can come together. This is, I think, what my brother's trying to say. What big things are happening in Australia. Hallelujah, everybody, to our God.
Thanks, Stu. We'll wrap it up with one more if you'd like to come. And this is the thing. We need to hear the things that God is doing. You know, we need to move one another along and hear the stuff that's going on.
Hi, I'm Jan. I'm not much of a storyteller. There are many, many miracles God has done in our particular journey. But I'd just like to testify that the Lord has healed my husband of cancer after 6 years.
Jan, I know that's been a long journey for you and Fred, but unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. It's about His kingdom. And the thing is, you know, I've talked over the last few weeks about the things we're seeing just immediately in Good Life and the number of folk that are coming through. But again, it's not sufficient in my heart that they just come and play squash or sports or gym or swim. It's about that they know that God loves them and has a purpose for them. And so part of the changes that we're making for the Sunday morning is honestly with a heart of expectation of what is going to develop in the next year, 2 years, 5 years within the context of this place as well. 2 weeks from now, the Sunday after Easter, so it's actually 3 Sundays from now, we do move to 2 services on a Sunday morning, 8:15 and 10 o'clock. This is going to be one of the bigger changes probably in the history of Good Life after building this whole thing and moving ahead with that. But the gathering has continued to develop and grow, and it was used to be upstairs and then it came down here and then it's now grown. We're going to 2 services, 8:15, 10 o'clock. Just got to pick a time. You're used to 9 o'clock. You're now either going to come earlier or later. Children's ministry will take place second hour. So if you have young ones, there was a survey that was done upstairs that said that was the better hour for them. Creche will operate during both. But there's so many opportunities. On your way out, there's a table set up where you can sign up for different opportunities. But again, to serve. And not just to, serve what's happening on a Sunday morning, but in preparation for all that lies ahead. I do not believe that God has finished revealing Himself to people in this area yet. I believe that there are many, 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 many more people that we are going to see come into the kingdom of God that will walk out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His marvelous light. And I believe that we're not just going to see it here. My prayer is that churches across the entire region come to life with the vision for the lost. I pray that churches are not shrinking, but churches are growing. And I pray that churches are having to create 2 and 3 and more services. I really pray that. I long for that. I long that our stories would be impassioned by what we see happening in the kingdom. I long for that, and there's a sense in my heart that it's there. But I encourage you, do truly find a place that you can serve. We heaps of us just rock in and sit down, do our thing, and bail out, and we're just not engaging in providing the way for other people. There's ways to do it, like coffee and tea is going to only happen between the services. But you could come early, help set up for that, and then stay for the second service. Or you could come first service and then hang around and help tear that down. Or parking, you could come early, get people settled in, come for service. You could, you know, there's so many different ways to do it. We are still looking to build a good, strong security type team. And there's, you can sign up for that, but you will be interviewed for shape, size, everything. You can do background checks. And we need people that are taking seriously caring for our church community, our church family, for our children to keep an eye out. It's amazing that when the kingdom of God is advancing, the kingdom of darkness is prowling around looking for ways to devour. And we need to be on the front edge of caring about one another and caring for our children. And we're not going to hesitate to pull people up. This is a thing we have to take it seriously. The kingdom of God is going to move ahead, and we're going to have to choose to move with it or get out of the way. That's the reality. Move with it or stand aside, because it is moving ahead. I was just sitting here listening to Roy, and my heart was led to Revelation chapter 3. Mind you, my notes for this morning's message are gone. I was just, as I was sitting here, Revelation chapter 3 strongly just sat on my heart there. In verse 11, Jesus says this, "I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God." But I love that line there. It says, "Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown." The only time that you let go of something is when you are just apathetic or lazy about it, or you no longer see worth in it. But something that you see worth in and are impassioned by, you will hold on to it, and you will hold on to it with everything that you have. Very often, struggle can feel like it's too much, or it's too wearing, or the work is too big, and we pull back, and we just stop. And I will never stop quoting Galatians chapter 6, 9 and 10 that says, "Do not become weary in doing good." Do not become weary in doing good. I believe that is the foundation of everything that we're about. I went home exhausted last night from this place, but it was just such an opportunity to serve and to see the kingdom really manifest. We had yesterday afternoon our Special Olympics basketballers and their families, and from the whole region that were here, and they're sending off players for the national team. And they were here, and they just had a bush dance. And, you know, most people might think, well, that's really insignificant. You know, they just had a bush dance. They could have had that anywhere. That's my point. They could have had it anywhere. But they had it right here. And it was an opportunity that I've built in just relationship of serving them. Yes, I was weary. My feet were weary. I'm setting this place up and pulling stage blocks, and I'm so grateful to Craig who came down and chucked in and did it, and pulling out a barbecue, and you know, then it starts raining, and pulling out an umbrella, and then pulling out stuff for them, and then dancing with, you know, kids with disability, and you know, I'm dancing up and down the floor here. But at the same time, our youth group had its 80s dance, and then I had to go and spend more time till, I don't know, Shane, what time were we here, till 11 or something? You know, just, and the families and the kids that came, and you might think, oh, it's just stuff. You know what? In the midst of it, the kingdom is manifest. I had an opportunity. There's a lady who I prayed with some weeks ago. And she and I asked her, you know, how she was doing. Oh, not really good. Well, what's going on? Well, I've got a daughter who's, you know, she's supposed to have a baby, but she's bleeding and she's already lost a baby and she's probably going to lose this baby. And I said, can I pray for you? And she looked at me and goes, I don't do that. She said, in fact, I'm probably one of the most godless women that you'll ever meet. My story is painful. I don't believe in God. I don't believe God cares about me. I don't believe that God wants to be involved. And I said, I beg to differ. God does know you. And even in your pain, He knows you. And I believe that God can answer prayer. And so I said, whether you want me to pray or not, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray for your daughter. And I'm going to pray for that baby. You know what? Last night, here we are having a little bush dance. And my friend arrives. And I said, she's got a big grin on her face. I said, you look good. You look happy. She said, I just came back from the hospital. My granddaughter was born this morning. You know what? God answers prayer. And we need to be in the middle of just community declaring His kingdom and looking for continual opportunity to connect people to God. And we just need to be stirred about it. We shared another baptism the other day, and I love that the baptism happened in the middle of swimming lessons, and again in the middle of people swimming laps, and we're just able to go, you know what? Our faith does not happen in a closet. Our faith is not just a Sunday morning meeting where we sit together and smile at one another and have a coffee and go home. Our faith is lived out in the everyday life that we live wherever the Lord has placed us. And His kingdom moves ahead and it advances with power and with strength and authority when we walk in it. We are the ones that need to step up into it. And our Christian faith is not just a little bubble. It is the kingdom of God that advances. And I love that we baptize in the midst of a busy, everyday world of swim lessons and laps, because that's where the kingdom of God is declared. That's a celebration to me. And it's a celebration to me when we have young people that are coming to an 80s dance night, that have come from broken homes and broken backgrounds and different states and places. But they begin to connect with a heart of God for them. And they want to be around young men and young women who will mentor them and sit with them and weep with them when they weep and laugh with them when they laugh, to see the kingdom of God declared. That's what this is about. And that's what we will be about here. And that's why we're going to go to two services. And they may be smaller services for a season, but not for too long. In fact, it'll be a better opportunity to get to know some individuals' faces a little better. 2 years ago, our Sunday evening, you'll remember, started with about 30 people. Last week, we didn't have enough chairs upstairs to cater for all the people that were there. We had 326 chairs set out, and we still had people sitting on the floors. And what are we doing? We're declaring the kingdom of God through the scriptures, and people are just coming to hear. We're seeing people make statements of faith in Jesus. We are seeing the kingdom advance. Jesus said, "Behold, I am coming soon." In the kingdom of God, soon is a very relative term. But soon will happen, and it will happen, according to the scriptures, very quickly. In the twinkling of an eye, the kingdom of God will be declared on this earth. And we better be ready. I actually really like a bumper sticker I saw once that says, "Jesus is coming soon, we better look busy." I just think we better be busy. I don't want to be standing leaning on a shovel when Jesus comes and He's like, "What are you doing?" I said before, I want to die tired. Sometimes I think maybe not this tired, but I love that this is about his kingdom advancing. And I want to encourage you this morning. Yes, we're in a season of change. Yes, we're about to go into a major change. Yes, it's going to mean that our Sunday morning schedule is flipped on its head. But you know what? I don't mind when the schedule is flipped on its head and the kingdom keeps advancing. We just got to, from on our head, get back on our feet and get back in step and keep going. That's what happens. Some people are here for their first time this morning. And I'm so glad that you are here. And I'm so glad that maybe you can come for a couple of weeks to our 9 o'clock service so you can see what things used to be like. But we're moving ahead. And I love that God does not just leave us to our own devices. He calls. Our part is, do we want to respond? My heart as pastor leading Good Life in this season, and I pray for seasons yet to come, is that we rise up and we say, yes. Lord, I hear you, and I want to be attentive to you. And I want to see your kingdom advance. And I want to be a part of your kingdom moving. And Lord, I want to know you in this moment. I will share very briefly a point from my message, and I pray one day I'll get back to it because it was significant to me this week. I was reading last week in John, and it was part of the study that we did, and this will take me about 3, maybe 5 minutes, so hang on. I was reading in John, and it was about the royal attendant who walked from Capernaum or arrived from Capernaum to Cana and is looking for Jesus. It's about a 45K journey or something. And he comes and he says, my child's sick. Would you come and heal them? And Jesus says, and I'll just shorten the whole thing. He heals him. He says, your child is well. Go back. And it says that this guy took Jesus at his word and heads home. And and it reminded me of another story where the centurion's servant is unwell. And he comes to Jesus and goes, would you heal? And Jesus heals from a distance again. And I was thinking about this, that God has incredible authority to speak and it's done. And Jesus did things on occasion from a great distance. But then I was also reading in Matthew chapter 14. And in Matthew chapter 14, about halfway through, you come to a place where Jesus, after working a lot with people, he goes up on a hill to pray and he sends his disciples to the other side of the lake. And it says that in the middle of the lake, this storm rose up, and it says in the fourth watch of the night, which is just before dawn. So on the Galilee, this storm has raised up, and these fishermen raised on the shores of the Galilee, they've experienced this. Their whole lives have been raised in boats and fishing. It's a family lifestyle. Villages were built around this. And so here they are, and I wonder, as this storm came up, what was going on in the boat. It wasn't new to them. It wasn't something freakish on the Galilee. Storms are commonplace. But they're fighting against this storm. They're trying to get to the other side, and I wonder if discouragement set in. I wonder how weary they were getting of it. I wonder how, you know, how long and hard they'd pulled at the oars. But here they are going across, and it says Jesus saw them in this struggle. Now, if I look at John and the story in Matthew or Luke about Jesus healing from a distance, he could have stood on the shore and spoken the word and calmed the storm. He could have. Jesus shows that he has the power to do miraculous things from a distance. He could have seen the struggle. He could have said, storm, just stop. We read he did it in other places. But instead, Jesus starts walking to his friends fighting a storm in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. I actually really like that Jesus doesn't just do things from a distance. That he doesn't just wave his hand and say, it's all going to be okay. I love that in struggle, Jesus will walk through the struggle and the storm himself. I don't picture Jesus arriving at the boat in a wet-free aura. I don't think he arrived there with his garments clean and unaffected by the storm or the wind. I don't think his hair was just pristine and neat and not affected by the wind or the storm. I think Jesus, who subjected himself to humanity, also subjected himself to the storm. And when he arrived at the boat, I think he was probably quite wet, wind-blown, and bedraggled. Don't think he was just shining in the night. And I'm going to skip the story of Peter because that's a whole other wonderful encounter in the moment. But Jesus steps into the boat with them and calms the storm. And I think it's so important to know that in our time of storm, as much as in times where the kingdom's advancing and it's victorious and we see God's power manifest and we see people coming, there are times that we want to and we're warned against that we just want to let it go. Revelation says, don't let go. Don't be overcome by the storm. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't expect that Jesus is just going to wave his hand and make it all better. Sometimes it won't be till the fourth watch of the night, which is right before dawn. Sometimes I wonder why Jesus walked out there and didn't just transport himself to the boat. It would have been pretty astounding to be pulling against it and have Jesus materialize in the boat. That would be impressive. But Jesus walks to the boat. When you read the King James Version, it tells you it was many stadia out. A stadia is somewhere around 200 meters. So many stadia, you're at least probably couple of Ks out in the Galilee. I don't know what time Jesus started walking. I don't know what time Jesus started coming to them. But he gets there in the fourth watch. You ever wondered why God's taking so long? Ever had that thought? Why is he taking so long? He could just wave his hand. He could, in the blink of an eye, stop it, heal it, fix it. Fred and Jan, 5 years of walking a battle with cancer that I know has been very dark at times. Sometimes people face cancer and will die with cancer after long, arduous battles. We wonder, Lord, where were you in the storm? All I can encourage you is that we must keep our eyes fixed on the author and the finisher of our faith. We will not know all the answers until the Lord comes and gives a crown to all those who have overcome. But Revelation 3 says, overcome. Hold on. And as we go into change, hold on. As we see the kingdom expand, hold on. As we see great times, hold on. Difficult times, hold on. Victories, hold on. Losses, hold on. Because Philippians says, where he has begun a good work, he will. Not he might, not he can, he will see it through to completion. So do not become weary in doing good. If you're weary, get people around you, pray with you, encourage you. But do not become weary. For in due season you shall reap a reward if you do not quit. And so, Father, I ask you, I pray that, God, I just pray, I just sense that you were calling out this morning. I know we plan our ways, and Lord, I believe your word is always valid, and I don't mind preparing it and then dropping it. God, I'd rather just try and hear what your spirit's saying. And so, Lord, I just ask that if your spirit is speaking this morning, that you would affirm it to people's hearts. Lord, I ask that your word would be strong. God, that you would be mighty, that you would declare yourself as mighty to save. You are our deliverer. You are our hope. You are our ever-present help in time of need. And I thank you, God, that you will always remain faithful. I'm just going to close, actually, if I can invite the musicians. I want to just close with a song that's I want us to just meditate on it a little bit as we wrap up. It just says, you are my strength. And if you're in a place that you know the strength of the Lord that's holding you and holding you fast, sing it with confidence. If you're in a place where you're in the midst of battle, I invite you to sing it with just a sense of faith, affirming that hope. And I'm going to ask too, if I can get some of our prayers and some of our exec team, if you guys, I feel like there's some people here that need to just come and have someone pray with them. Whether it's to just speak life, speak a word of hope, to just pray with you in need. Don't hesitate to come and have someone pray with you. In fact, I'm going to ask if you guys who would be willing to pray, I know I can see a couple of you, Bridget, Henry, would you guys be willing to maybe pray with some folk? I'm just sort of the Kellys, I saw you guys are here. Andre, Charlotte, if you guys had just come, just be available. Maybe some single guys. Justin, I see you there. I know you got your kids, but some girls, Lisa, others, if you want to just come and just be available, But if you want someone to pray with you, just come, please, please come. To him who overcomes. You know what the first step to overcoming sometimes is to move your bum from a chair and take a step. And I think I just sense in my heart, there's people that need to get up and take a step this morning. To move from the physical locality of where you are and in faith, ask the Lord to move you from where you are. To encourage you, to strengthen you, to just stand with you in faith. Roy, I invite you, if you guys want to come and pray at all. Let's not be too quick to rush out of here. If you've got to go because you've got something scheduled, go ahead and and go. But Father, I just thank you expectantly. Lord, to the call of your Spirit this morning. Spirit of God, I just invite you, move amongst us. Come, move in our midst. Move in comfort, move in power. Lord Jesus, please step into the space of our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.